No, no. There you go.
Start.
You guys, we're going to roll. You good?
I'm going to call to order a regular meeting for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. This is Wednesday, September 6, 2017. Maybe have a roll call, please.
Chairman Schultz?
Here.
Director Hill?
Here.
Director Austin?
Here.
Thank you.
Perfect. Please stand and with us for the Pledge of Allegiance. Your hands over your heart and follow me. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, at this point we're going to have an agenda review of what's been presented by staff. Do any members of the board want to change the order of the agenda?
No.
Okay. Will someone make a motion
make
to that effect?
That we approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion, there's a second. If there's no additional discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. So we're going to proceed with the agenda as presented by staff. So let's move into our public comments. This is an opportunity for any member of the public to address the board for a period not to exceed 3 minutes on any item within the jurisdiction of this board. Please bear in mind that the board cannot take action on any item that is not on the agenda. Is there anyone that would like to address the board during public comment?
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker. And about 3 weeks ago, I sent your board a letter. I sent you an analysis of some payroll data that I believe proves that Mr. Huebner took moving expenses without a formal agreement. He admits it in a public document that he gave me. I have not heard any response from the district. I did have a cordial conversation with your district, your acting administrator, Mr. Karp, and he thought that you would respond. You haven't had a meeting to come to a consensus on how you want to respond, but I look forward to that response. Subsequently, last night, I sent you another letter. I did some more analysis on the work that Mr. Huebner left behind. Mr. Huebner went to the water board and complained, suggested that your chief plant operator violated state law and fabricated or falsified documents and violated your NPDES permit and its reporting requirements. I did an analysis of the material that he turned in and found that he is the one who falsified documents. He falsified documents through omission. And your district is exposed. I can just tell you that the mess he's left and the disparaging remarks he's made about your staff in public, at the water board. He got a letter from the water board dated June the 8th, basically telling him to keep your business at home and keep it confidential, which he did not. And in light of an agenda item you have on tonight about the Jim Hill investigation, I think we need, all of us, need a lesson in what is exactly confidential. Because Mr. Huebner didn't have a handle on it. And I do think from the report, Mr. Hill has a handle on it. But I've heard members of the audience, members of the public, come to the podium and suggest that things were confidential and they weren't. Because many of us were witnesses to incidents or things that happened in this district. I look forward to another response. I mentioned that I wrote a letter 3 weeks ago. I have no response. I look forward to that response, and I look forward to a response for the letter that I wrote to you and sent last night.
Is there anyone else? People are speaking. Can you please, if you agree with the speaker, can you just show hands? So, okay.
Chris Victorine, Oceana resident. I attended the preliminary hearing for John Wallace on September 1st, and I would like to know the role of the district's contracted counsel, Wendy Stockton, in the DA's case against John Wallace, and if the district is paying for those services. Additionally, I would once again like to bring to the attention of the board that the district does not have a completed 2015-2016 financial audit. Glenn Burdett estimated the final report would be completed by 31 December 2016, and 6 months is an appropriate time frame for a financial audit of this size. However, we are now at 14 months. A financial audit that takes over 14 months is highly unusual, and I feel the ratepayers deserve an explanation. Glenn Burdett's audit contract states that in the event that disclosures in the audit indicate extraordinary circumstances that warrant more intensive and detailed services, we will provide in advance all pertinent facts relative to the extraordinary circumstances to the District Board of Trustees, meaning the District Board of Directors. No extended services will be performed unless they are authorized in writing by the district, and the agreement covering the work to be done had been amended to reflect such extended services. You as the board should be aware of the extraordinary circumstances that have taken, that have caused the audit to take over a year. You should have a new completion date, and you should know the cost to the district. As a ratepayer, I find your silence troubling. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Hello, this is Ron Holt. At the last meeting, I was going on about the Brown Act and using this little pamphlet put out by the State Attorney General on that subject. And I'd just like to make a little correction on that. Somebody has pointed out to me that this is a little bit out of date. There are a couple of changes that have been made since this was printed. I don't know how long ago that was. But one of the changes was something that I addressed last meeting about the appropriateness of having a closed session meeting to discuss compensation for the district previous district manager. That is not addressed in here. It is addressed in the state law as it is presented in the on the state's website. So I just wanted to make that clear. If anybody picked one of these up that I left behind, I know I distributed them for the board. This is not totally up to date. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Holt. Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward.
Patricia Price. At the last Grover City Council meeting, Mayor Scholes was giving an account of what was going on at South Sand District, and in it he said that there were a handful of individuals who support Jim Hill and a couple of the employees. Because of this, it sounds like he thinks that's the reason there's a contentious environment at the district, and this isn't the problem. For over a year, the public has asked valid questions about concerns at the plant. These concerns were valid, were not answered or addressed. The reason was that the board majority, which included Mayor Scholes, chose to let Mr. Huebner, now departed, and legal counsel seemingly sabotage what had been a well-run sewer plant. Yes, I do feel contentious. I personally have watched all of the hard work that was done to bring this facility from the brink of fiscal disaster brought on by the Wallace years, undone by Gerhard Huebner, the recently departed full-time administrator, and a board majority that refused to curb his behavior that brought us to this point. Why? This behavior reeks of the Wallace years. I watched in despair as plant morale dropped because of Mr. Huebner's management style or lack of it. I watched in despair when John Clemens and Amy Simpson were put on administrative leave in March without due process. To this day, they have not been given a reason why they were put on leave. 6 months. I want to know what is the justification for them not being brought back immediately. These two people were instrumental in the plant's recovery. Were they being punished for that? I watched as Mr. Huebner and legal counsel initiated seemingly endless investigations, witch hunts, I suspect, without bringing cause before the board and the board majority not questioning cost or reason. Mayor Hill repeatedly made efforts to have these and other matters put on the agenda and was stopped by a majority voting him down. I heard Mayor Hill ask repeatedly to be kept informed by Mr. Huebner. His request was ignored. And it is not a mere handful who are watching. I have talked personally to well over 100 people at length in the past few months. And please understand that they are now aware of what is going on, and without exception, they are supportive of the effort the public is making to hold this board accountable. I have here a list of signatures.
That's your time,
many
Ms. Price.
Of them.
Ms. Price?
And everyone has expressed
Excuse
gratitude.
Me. Ms. Price?
There are individuals who are willing to
Mrs.
come
Mrs.
to
Price,
month after
there
month
are other people who would like to speak,
out
please.
For their interests.
There are other people who would like to speak.
Would you like the signature?
That would be great. Absolutely.
I have redacted the last four digits of
Thank you. Very good. Was there anyone else?
Mr. Scholes, Mary Lucy Oceano. Look, you have to set some guidelines here, and you have to, the last three people minus one have
Mr.
spoke
Chair.
Of personnel issues. Sure. So I'm asking you to set some guidelines and facilitate this meeting, or it's going to be a disaster. You know, it's us ratepayers who paid for the investigations, who pay for legal counsel, and we want to hear this board speak on it. So I need you to take a leadership role and facilitate this group. The last speaker, that was inappropriate.
Okay. Jim,
Mr. Chair, with due respect, can we have people address the board as a whole?
Yes.
Okay.
Hold on.
Sorry about that. Colleen Kubel. I just wanted to echo some of the statements that the Chairman Scholes have stated in his council meeting, that a handful of people were behind Mayor Hill. That's not what this is all about. This is all about what was going wrong with Mr. Huebner. It's not about backing or not backing Mayor Hill, which most of us do, because he analyzed what was going on. And so what we really need to focus on is what was wrong that has now been corrected and go forward. And as I said two meetings ago, go forward, not backward. No divisiveness that just happened. We need to go forward and go at a fast speed to catch up, that we need to do what we need to do. The board needs to do what needs to do.
Anyone else?
Yes, I'd like to direct Mr. Hill directly. I feel as a new resident.
Excuse me for a sec, sir. Can you, just for the record, give us your name?
Nicholas Pressure, and
Thank
live
you, Nicholas.
In Oceano.
Thank you, Nicholas.
I'm a veteran, 100% disabled. I'm an American citizen. I was born in this state and country, and this is still America. And you, sir, have not served this public any interest except for your buddies. And what I have right here tonight is the procedure to start having you kicked out of
office. Mr. Nicholas, address your comments to the entire board.
They can hear me. Okay. I'm right here, right?
Go ahead.
Can you see this? This is to have him recalled from office because he's not doing what he needs to do. We pay the taxes, and if he goes, you know what? You go, and you go. I guarantee it.
Can you talk into the mic, sir? Thank you.
What? You can't hear me?
Well, we're trying to capture you so it's a part of public record.
I really think that microphone can pick me up from here.
Okay.
And I would like to see that can pick me up from here. Okay? So anyone that would like to be in on this, I am starting tonight to fill this out. Okay? And if they think I'm joking, I think you should think again, okay? So look on your doorstep for a mail from the governor.
All right. Who else?
I'm Cinnamon Lofton. And I've spoken here once before saying similar to what I'm going to say tonight. I come with all my heart to support unitive merging of all of the people involved here. There seems to be, every time I come, I hear questions asked, and I don't know where the answers are supposed to come from. And I'm sincere when I say, are you supposed to answer the questions? They say, don't ask or talk about anything that's not on the agenda, and then I hear people saying, well, I'd like this on the agenda, and then the answers never come. I just keep hearing the same questions. So I would like to know from where the answers come, and where is the cooperation? Where is I don't see it in the faces of the people. I don't see a desire to understand where you're coming from. So I just plead with everyone to be of service to what you're up here to change and be a party to, and be of service to each other by being still. So thank you.
Anyone else?
Hello, Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. So I think that now that Mr. Huebner's gone, that the focus should not be on him anymore. I think that's been dealt with, and he's gone, and legal counsel, and that's been dealt with. So I think that it's time to move on, and otherwise we're just going to be spending more money going over the past history with Mr. Huebner. Thank you.
Thank you. Was there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close this and bring it back to the board. And Director Hill, did you have a comment?
Just to address one of the prior speakers, that during public comment period, it's often I see frustration among members of the public because the board is not supposed to respond to. We're supposed to hear what you have to say and not engage in conversation or respond directly to questions. So that's occasionally very frustrating for members of the public, but that's the requirement. We can make a brief response, but we're not supposed to engage in conversation.
No, sir, please. Thank you. The only thing I'm going to say is this is public comment. I'm giving everyone 3 minutes, and whether you like what they have to say or not, my job is to be fair up here. I will specifically respond to folks who've made a comment about my report out at a council meeting, even though this is not about city council. It was about who was in attendance at that meeting and the tone and tenor of that meeting. It was not to say those are the only people paying attention. There are 37,000 ratepayers who we are trying to do what's in the best interest of all of them. So that's all I'm going to say about that. I wish people who said let's move forward would actually follow their own advice, because it would be really helpful. We're volunteers up here, and we're doing the best we can. And so we try to keep these meetings civil. It's been a challenge, clearly. So we're going to try and get through this agenda. and do so in a fashion that the folks who may not be here but who are watching at home and others who have an interest know that this board is really trying to work, and we can have differences and move toward trying to get to positive outcomes and solutions. So with that, we're going to move on, and we're going to go to our consent agenda. The consent agenda is typically routine items that we take as a group. There are five items on our consent agenda tonight. If you've got the agenda, I'm sure you can read what those are. I'm not going to read all of those. So at this point, I'm going to see if any members of the board would like to pull any items from consent agenda.
I do have one comment on the warrants, and that's all.
Okay. So we're going to pull item. You have a comment, or you want to pull?
A comment is I generally support the warrants with the exception of one item.
Okay.
And which is the amount for Downey Brand, which.
Okay. So you're okay if we move forward with
all the
items?
Yes.
Oh, you all the rest of them, you want to pull item 5A? Is that what you're?
You're going to pull that. Okay, I'll pull item 5A for separate consideration.
Well, you don't have to.
Or as you wish.
Okay. Linda, anything?
I'll make a motion we approve the consent agenda with the exception.
Hang on a sec. Let me see if there's anyone that.
Oh, public comment.
If there's anyone from the public that would like to comment on the consent agenda.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I, too, am concerned about the Downey Brand warrant. I saw that Downey Brand is actually copied in the letter of March 13th that Mr. Huebner wrote to the Water Board. And then when we asked about Downey Brand being engaged again, Mr. Trujillo explained that they were engaged due to their expertise in Water Board matters, because general counsel is not special in that way. My concern is that Downey Brand is involved due to this false complaint to the Water Board by Mr. Huebner. I don't know why we're not talking about the minutes separately as we did a meeting ago. These are the same minutes that we had issue with, and they are not repaired or not fixed because Ms. Austin wasn't here and they didn't all get approved. So I think specifically the meeting minutes of August the 2nd, we went through an exercise over where people live. These meetings are in here, and where people live that was not disclosed is now disclosed again. So I'd like that removed, and I thought the conversation at the time would have removed them. So those references should be gone. I also made specifically with that set of minutes on item 6A, I asked that those minutes reflect why I called a point of order. Do I need to go through that again?
However you want to spend your 3 minutes, you got.
Great. I'll do it again.
Okay.
Because self-humiliation is just keen. I called a point of order on item 6A when I came to the podium after at least four times prior to that, Ms. Lucy had her phone set to a cow's moo each time I walked to the podium. So Ms. Lucy stooped to the lowest of lows to make fun of my size or whatever she felt she needed to do. But it was highly... Exactly.
Come on, okay.
Are we in grammar school?
You're done.
That's how it felt on August the 2nd, that we were in grammar school or high school, whatever. But I want the minutes to reflect that that's why I called for a point of order regarding the decorum of Miss Lucy. I also, after that, sent a letter to Mayor Schulz asking for an apology, and I didn't get one. So I hope to one day get one. Those I guess we'll talk about legal fees in the next agenda item because there's plenty to talk about.
Very good.
Those are my main concerns throughout each set of minutes, each set of warrants. The amount of money this district is spending on legal counsel is absurd.
Is there anyone else?
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. So I would like to see the minutes just list the person's name, and if people want further information, they can go listen to the tape or watch it on video. And then it's not open to interpretation by staff or who said what. It's just simple. So-and-so spoke, and then check it out yourself. Thank you.
Okay.
I think it gets way too involved going over every single detail of the minutes. We're wasting time. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Mary Lucy Oceano, I hope you haven't gotten to a point where you're going to be putting hearsay people's mental problems into the minutes. That's just ludicrous, you know. And point of information, several people know that I didn't do that, but Ms. Tacker, for her own personal reasons, wants to firmly believe I did that, which is fine. I could care less, but it still doesn't have anything to do with water and sewer, you know. So secondly, I hope you're not going to put, you know, fabrications in there that just didn't happen. And then also on the statement of joint investigation, I know this is a submission, and it's quite the diatribe, I have to say that. But there's numerous typos through it. And so do you just take it how it's submitted, or do you, like, try to clean it up for the whoever submitted it? In this case, it would be Mayor Hill.
Is there anyone else? Let me close. Are you coming in?
For 6E, that's what we're still talking about, right?
No, we're actually on the consent agenda, which is 5A.
I'm sorry, 5E then. Nick Pressure, Oceano.
Okay.
You're going to study, you're going to talk about a July physical report tonight. Is that what this is for?
That is
what this is for. And how are you going to talk about a July financial report when the audit hasn't been completed in 14 months?
Okay. Anything else?
I guess that's enough for the record for tonight.
You know, okay. Thank
financial,
you.
Financial. See, what does that say again? Financial July financial report. In 14 months, the oversight has not taken account of your monies. And this is our money, not your money.
That is
correct.
We
pay our taxes. And we serve in the military to protect this country. And when you sit up there and act like, oh, I know you have your positions, you can't, like, acknowledge anything. But when you sit there and just say things and you take no action, it makes you all a bunch of big liars. It really does. You know, the public, we're really tired of this crap now.
Thank you, Mr. Press. All right. Seeing no one else come forward, let me close this to the public and bring it back to the board. Linda? Okay. We're actually trying to do business. We will respond to the comments that are appropriate, but it's really hard if we've got a lot of chatter in the audience, and I don't want to call it recess. I understand. I understand, sir, but I really need... There are other people who are here, other people who are watching. Otis, are you going to speak on the consent agenda?
Yes, I wish to make a comment. It's up to the chair to maintain proper decorum here. If people are out of line, toss them out.
Thank you for that.
I mean, you're doing your job. Thank you.
Okay. Linda?
I just want to address the comments about the minutes and the city of residence, that even though I was not at the August 16th meeting, I've studied all these minutes and I asked questions. And she was right, August 2nd, it has the name of the city. That's what was given. And I checked with the bylaws, and the bylaws say that the district secretary shall attempt to record the names and general place of residence of persons addressing the board. So it is in our bylaws to do that. However, at that meeting, a lot of people didn't want their cities listed. I'm from Oceano, and I'm very proud to say I live in Oceano. I don't know why they don't want to say where they live. But if you look at the August 16th action summary minutes, I don't see places of residence for anyone. I just see that they spoke. And I really agree with the one speaker that said to stick to just the person spoke. Make it just plain action summary minutes so we can stop this, everyone coming up and wanting, you know, having a problem with what they said not being quoted the way they wanted it to come across. So I think it's best so we can get our business done is to do just straight action summary like it's supposed to be, like we're, our bylaws say it's supposed to be. And if they don't want their city, that's fine, too. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Jim, do you have anything?
No, I would also agree with the speaker who recommended just saying that person spoke on the item if they provide their identity.
All right. So we are at a point of if there's no additional discussion, is someone prepared to make a motion? And I would say including any amendments you would like to see reflected in the minutes or if so desired.
Well, I'll make a motion. We approve the consent agenda without 5A and that we approve, you know, all the minutes of the meetings of July 26th, August 2nd, August 16th, and the financial report.
And then you were recommending?
Oh, I recommend that we go to straight action minutes. Like it's done in the cities of like in Oceano,
with no place of residence,
but, and or the no place of residence.
Okay,
I don't know if we have to put it on the agenda to make the action minute thing, but the place of residence was already talked about, and yeah,
okay.
It's if they don't want to say where they live, that's fine with me.
I'll second that in support of Director Austin's comment about taking the. Place the residence off.
Okay. So that's items 5, B, C, D, and E, correct?
Right.
And I think, well, let's just do a roll call. Just simplify.
Okay, am I on? Do you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice Chair Austin?
Yes.
Chair Scholes?
And yes.
Can I ask for a point of clarification just so I can move on this? Is my direction then to excise the locations of every speaker from the minutes that we just approved or just not carry them in future minutes?
I'd say future minutes. Let's not take more time.
I'll do whatever you say. I can go in and sweep through and take out all the cities now, or I can... I mean, not now, but when I get back to the office. But.
Do you want to pay him to do
you
that?
Know what?
I don't think
I don't have a strong feeling one way or the other. Jim?
Going forward, I think we've given direction going forward.
Going forward.
As presented.
Okay. Thank you very much. I apologize for interrupting you.
No, it was a good clarification. Thank you. Okay. 5A, Linda?
I would move approval of the warrants with the exception of the Downey Brand item.
So you say don't pay Downey Brand? You don't want to pay the bill? I'm not going to.
Okay. Motion fails from lack of a second.
I'll make a motion that we approve the warrants.
I'll second that. There's no additional discussion. Roll call.
Director Hill.
I'll accept the item, so I'll vote yes.
Vice Chair Austin?
Yes.
Chair Scholes?
Yes. All right, let's move on to our action items. This is item 6A, discussion and consideration of approval of to revise the adopted budget for fiscal year 2017-18 regarding line items for legal expenses.
Yes, Directors, I placed a memorandum in your agenda and forwarded it to you. I basically recommended that we reinstate the amounts that were originally proposed based on the fact that the expenses are growing, and it's my opinion that they are growing at a rate that we will reach the target that was previously proposed for you. We expect that as we retire these matters, that the legal fee should start dropping off. If not, you know, they should soon. But if they continue, I could foresee us coming back to you for an additional funding to pay these consultants. With that, I stand ready to respond to any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Carb. Linda, any questions?
I don't have any questions.
Jim?
I don't expect that Mr. Carp is probably in a position to answer the numerous questions that I've expressed about the what I view as out-of-control legal fees. So I don't really have any other questions other than to again express that frustration.
I don't have any questions, so let me open this up to the public. Would anyone like to address item 6A?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. And while I understand the situation that you have exceeded your line item for legal in both categories, special counsel and general counsel, this was done on purpose. Your board agreed to lower the line item so that you could watch these expenditures, so that you could be the explanations would come forward at the time that the expenditures were coming forward. So I thought that was a good safeguard into sort of the where you're going with all of these legal matters. As I recall, last year the line item budgets were what Mr. Karp is asking for tonight, and you blew way past them. You spent over $200,000 on legal, and it sort of ran away without your ability to see how that happened. Apparently, investigations were entered into without the knowledge of the whole board. Those investigations are under the legal line item. That, you know, you're not hiring a lawyer necessarily to go do the investigation, but that's the line item that a private investigator gets paid out of. So they're running up the bill, $150, $200, $300 an hour, to do these numerous investigations. So what I thought was a safeguard is now being asked to go over. I think a way around it, maybe sort of a solution, would be to have, as you have a cash report, maybe you have a legal report, and that you are following from month to month a running total each month showing where those legal bills and how close they're getting to the what you've budgeted. What I'm afraid of is you're going to go over this budget that he's asking for, this $96,000 and $48,000, and then what? You have to do a budget adjustment. You're going to have to dip into reserves. What does that mean? And really, what's it all about? Why the heck are we doing this? Why? How did it get here? And some of the comments earlier were about moving forward, and how that's what we need to do. Well, if you don't fix what's in the past, you are bound to repeat your mistakes again. That's paraphrasing old adage. And so we have to get to the bottom of why these things happened so that they don't happen again.
Is there anyone else?
I'm Debbie Peterson. I live in the city of Grover Beach. I am a private citizen and a city council member, and I speak tonight as a private citizen. We've come to you so many times and said, please do something about these legal fees that in some cases have run up over $500,000 a year over the course of the last 10 years. So if I were voting, I would vote no. If you want to look at the legal fees for the for 16-17 fiscal year, for Mr. Trujillo, it was $118,000. For Ms. Stockton, it was almost $72,500. And Liebert Cassidy Witchcraft, Witch Hunt, it was almost $85,000. And I recall from the meeting that you had some time ago, couple of meetings ago, you had said, in fact, when you chopped the legal fees because you were concerned about them, you said that any future expenditure would have to be approved by the board. But I don't see things. Yes, this budget agreement's coming forward, but I don't see increased fees or increased expenditure coming to you. So I'm hoping that you will enforce that and not approve things after the fact, but review and approve expenses before the fact. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Yes, I would like to address this issue also. We have these exceeding legal fees for the board. What are these legal fees for? What are our tax dollars paying for these fees? And what is being covered up? Why are you having to hire attorneys to be on the side of the board? What are you doing to the public that you're having to hire this exuberant cost of attorneys for OCSD, for the plant, for the water district, whatever it is? And it just doesn't make any sense. What are you guys covering up? What are all these fees for? And I think as a council, you should offer up an itemized list of what those fees were for. Who that attorney was used for, what department, what person, what mayor, what chair, what vice chair, what technical consultant, and what legal counsel, and whoever else entailed. Why are all these legal fees out of control?
Is anyone else?
I brought the budget. So, I think you are trying to rectify it and bring the situation under control. I think that if you just look at the paperwork, you see, one person who continually is involved in every bit of litigation, and then others that are accusations. You have legal doing a lot of HR work. A lot of policies and procedures, trying to strengthen those up so you don't put yourself in harm's way and get us sued, And I know that I've been publicly criticized for mentioning a staff person's personal relationship. The only reason why I brought that up is because he was supervising her. And I was in hopes that you would change the policies and procedures to not put yourself in harm's way. But, of course, it was turned on me. So I see that legal's doing a lot of other things. So by bringing on outside HR people or a contract, I think that's great. By looking at your staff, who is the common thread here? And have your HR people advise on that. And I do think that the bills will come down and that, once there's some cleansing, I don't think you'll have as many investigations, but unfortunately, you're at the tip of the iceberg and you're going to have to slide down the other side.
Is there anyone else?
Patricia Price, very briefly concerning the legal fees. I'm going to give you the percentages of other sewer districts relative to revenues and staff. Seaside has 0.5% of their revenue. Cayucas has 0.6% of their revenue. Selma has 0.4% of their revenue. Goleta has 1%. At this point, for this fiscal year, South Sand has 4.9%. We've spent more than $276,000 for legal this fiscal year. And the $1.1 million fine isn't included in these figures. Combined with the legal fees, we have paid a total of $1.34 million in 2017, which is 27.3% of the revenue to cover ineptitude.
Anyone else?
Shirley Gibson from the metropolis of Halcyon. So I think the thing tonight that we should look at is Mr. Huebner's gone. We've got new leadership with general managers Mr. Karp and Mr. Sweet, who both know a lot about Arroyo, Oceano, the five cities. I think they're experts. I would support following their recommendation. I think they should be given a fresh start and do the best that they can, and I trust that they have our interests at heart. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, let me close this and bring it back to the board, and I will start by I think Jim expressed this, and the board feels this. We're all frustrated by legal fees. We are trying to figure out how to get it down. However, there is a certain responsibility that falls on this board. When someone comes forward and if an employee files a claim, we have to investigate. To otherwise, it would be a dereliction of duty. If someone makes a claim against an employee, and I don't want to get into a specifics of a specific case, but I would say that you should all ask us if there is an employee out there and someone chooses to make a claim, not that that was something done easily or lightly, that you would think the board would just dismiss that. I really don't think that's what, I would hope that's not what you're looking for in this board. And then what's being covered up, that's kind of the whole point of investigations, is to try and get to the bottom of this. And when we started down one of these investigations, and I'm really trying to be very careful to not speak about a specific, one of the things we said was if we go through this process and it clears someone's name, then it's worth going through that process. And yet I find it really unfortunate that we tried to go through a process and to do that only to have folks then become critical of that. So that is why we are trying to be responsible, trying to address these claims, whether it's from employees or whether it's from ratepayers and things of that nature. None of us like doing this, and we're hoping that this subsides. So that's my statement.
I totally agree with you. What you said.
I have a little bit different take on it, and that is I certainly agree that there's a responsibility that falls on the board, and I think that's a fiduciary responsibility. This board is tasked with making sure that district expenditures are reasonable and proper. And while I will concede that there are items that occasionally may require an investigation, I think that what happened here is that the authorization that the board gave to the district administrator with a fairly high amount that I think certainly in my mind when that authorization was made was for exigent circumstances at the plant, emergencies where, for example, the influent lines developed flaws that needed to be fixed immediately, to allow those kinds of things to be addressed, not to just have a slush fund for legal services. And I think it's this board needs to take some action to put controls in place to review those expenditures that were never brought before this board, were never approved by this board. I'm even concerned about Government Code 1090. And quite frankly, I am absolutely opposed to increasing this budget line item for legal fees. The legal fees have been out of control. There's been no action, no steps to even try to curb it, much less rein it in. And one of the speakers noted that for our little single-purpose district, our legal expenses are 10 times what anybody else's is. That's just not acceptable. It's not, in my view, a responsible expenditure of public funds. I think this board has a fiduciary duty to look at items and authorize them on a case basis. Once this board agrees on the validity of whatever needs to be done legally, this board needs to authorize that and then allow events to take their course. But I think anything else is an abrogation of our responsibility. I cannot support it, and I will not support this item tonight.
Thank you for those comments, and I'm not going to get them back and forth up here. I think there's an item. I think you all understand the view that I put forward, and I think it's really unfortunate if a employee, and I'm not talking about Mr. Hugh, I'm talking about any employee, chooses to file a claim. We can't necessarily control that. And are we going to just say we're not going to investigate or cover these costs? Come on. Anyway, with that.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, I just think we'd need to support this recommendation with our these legal fees are things that are in the works already that we have obligations to pay. And I agree with everything you said about why we need to support this. So I'm ready. I'll make a motion that we support the recommendation of staff and sign a resolution number 2017376.
And I'm going to second that. Roll call.
Discussion?
Discussion, yes.
What assurance do we have that other than, since as we conclude these various investigations, the need for legal services should decrease, what assurance do we have that may happen? I don't see anything other than, you know, hope that maybe this is going to decrease. There's certainly no mechanism we've put in place to try to control it.
So, Jim, and I hear what you're saying, and I think maybe we can have legal counsel weigh in on this, because there are the unfortunate situation we find ourselves in is there are some legal requirements, and I think you even referred to this, Jim, that basically dictates how we handle these items. So I don't know if legal counsel can...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm very sympathetic, of course, with the board. They're my boss, right? So I go back and I look at the bills that are here, and I have them all here. And with respect to your legal counsel, I have a day-by-day, almost minute-by-minute explanation of what each of our local attorneys are doing. And all of them are related to following up on different issues. And my contention, Director Hill, is that if those issues go away because they're resolved, I'm talking about the ones relating to the investigations, then those calls for our attorneys to address them will drop off to zero. That's where I'm getting that supposition. Now, I am looking at our attorneys, and our attorneys are giving us a day-by-day representation of how they're spending their time. And those are available. I have them here if you'd like to go through them. But the other things are the investigations, and I think that once those go away, everything should get under control. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's the way I see it.
I think it might be good to have the public know what they're spending their time on, what the attorneys are, a lot of the attorney fees that...
Well, anyone who would like to come by the office, I'd be happy to open the warrant for the attorneys and let them look at them, if that would help.
Okay.
Invite them to call me.
Legal counsel, we're good. Good on that.
Yes, although sometimes our descriptions would reveal attorney-client privileged information. So we have in the past redacted our bills in response to Public Records Act requests. And so the bills would need to be reviewed to make sure or to determine whether or not there's any potential work product or attorney privileges that could be revealed.
I stand corrected, and of course, that's going to cost money.
then we don't need to do it.
I apologize.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I think that what's at issue is I want to make the public don't want the public to go away thinking that if someone threatens to sue the district, or if an employee files a claim against another employee, that is not something that we can legally come into an open session and have a conversation, because we talk about due diligence. So if that is meaning more closed sessions, then I think we need to figure out how do we do that legally without putting someone's right to due process and subjecting this district to more litigation. So I offer that to say that this is not about cover up or hiding. I've said many times that the balancing act we have to have is to what can we do in public and what must we do in closed session, because we're trying to protect the rights of individuals who can come in. If we choose not to do that, then sue the district as well. So it is not a simple matter. It is complicated. Anyway, thank you both for that.
Mr. Chair, if I might again note that I've not had an issue with the hourly rate of our legal counsel. And my concern, again, is that I believe the board has the fiduciary responsibility to control costs and to be informed about issues in advance of expenditures. And that's what I'm looking for in the way of controls. And again, I would urge voting to oppose this, which appears to be a blank check.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor. Let's
Director Hill.
No, with prejudice.
Vice Chair Austin.
Yes.
Chairman Schultz.
Yes. Motion carries. Let's move on to item 6B. And this is a discussion and consideration of approval to submit an application for membership of Paul J. Karp to the San Francisco County Flood Control and Water Conservation District Zone 1 and Zone 1A Advisory Committee. Mr. Karp.
Again, the report's been placed in the materials packet. A brief summary is that with Mr. Huebner's exit, it has left a vacancy on the Zone 1 and Zone 1A board. Should the board like me to represent them at the level that Mr. Huebner was providing, I'd be happy to do that. And they need an application filled out, and this paves the way for that. Alternative is to not participate. I'm here to answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. Karp. Jim, you have any questions?
No.
Linda? No, I think it'd be great if he wants to serve on there. I'd like to see Mr. Karp serve on the Zone 11A.
Okay. Let me open this up to the public. Is there anyone from the community that would like to address this item?
Is Nicholas Pressure, Oceano. Serving on both of those committees, this one and that one, does that have any conflict of interest for our water and our sewer in Oceano and for our Water Conservation District, Zone 1 and 1A Advisory Committee? So I'd like to find out about that, okay. What the conflicts would be between him or any of you sitting on two boards.
Thank you, Mr. Pressure. Is anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, we bring it back. And Mr. Karp?
Yeah, clarification. I'm sorry. Zone 1 and Zone 1A is one advisory committee of people in Oceano primarily, and they are people who live along the creek or own property along the creeks of Los Barros and the Arroyo Grande, and there are frequently input requested of the community by the county who handles the flood control facilities and maintains those. And they ask, rather than just going and doing the maintenance, they ask for advice and they ask for input from the community. And the community members are primarily the inputters there. Frequently they'll look for an agency who is working in the area, like the sanitation district, who's along the levee there, and they ask for our input from time to time. But it's merely advisory to the Board of Supervisors, who makes the final decisions.
Okay. All right. Someone want to try a motion on this item?
Mr. Chair, I think Mr. Karp's qualifications are beyond reproach, and I strongly support this. So I'm pleased to move that we recommend him for being the district's representative on Zone 11A.
I'll second it.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, we'll just all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. All right, let's move on to item 6C. This is discussion and direction to staff regarding the status of the joint investigation with the City of Aurora Grande. And who's going to give this staff report?
I would just introduce our legal counsel to address this particular item, if that's okay with the board.
Okay.
Thank you. As the board will recall, the City of Aurora Grande some months ago requested that the district join in a joint investigation into alleged misconduct by Mayor and Director Hill. The board authorized us to share costs with that investigation, and as you're aware, that investigation has concluded and been publicized as it was a public document. We are here to seek direction from the board on two items. One, it is direction on whether or not you would like us to present an open session review of the report by the law firm of Lieber, Cassidy & Whitmore. The second request is another document that was prepared entitled Legal Conclusions and Recommendations by Lieber, Cassidy & Whitmore. That document is attorney-client privileged. I believe that the City of Aurora Grande intends to have a presentation in public on September 12th on the report and intends to bring in the Lieber, Cassidy & Whitmore attorney to provide that. In order to present the confidential letter to the board and to the city, both entities have to waive the attorney-client privilege, and we've been asked to waive the attorney-client privilege for that document. If the board waives it tonight and gives us direction, Aurora Grande then would be free to waive it on September 12th and then have the attorney present a report. If one of our entities does not waive it, then the report will remain confidential. And I mean the letter, not the report. So we have two documents. So with that, really, just a simple request. How would you like the report to be presented to the board? And will the board like to waive the attorney-client privilege as to this letter?
Okay, thank you, legal counsel. Let's see if there's any questions.
No.
Jim?
No questions.
Okay, very good. Let me open this up to the public and see if there's anyone from the community that would like to address this item that is before the board.
Nicholas Presser, Oceano. On the report, page 48, printed off the website of your institution, there are seven findings here of Mayor Hill, and three of them are unsubstantiated, and that's fine. But there's four here that, if alleged, as Mayor of City, Jim Hill, individually and outside the direction of majority of the council and acted unilaterally and outside his legislative role, including but not limited to becoming involved in or interfering in personal matters. Sustained, the alleged conduct occurred. This is your report. A special finding, Jim Hill more likely than not permitted and or was aware of access to his city email account by his wife, potentially exposing a variety of confidential communications to an unauthorized third party. Sustained, the alleged conduct occurred. Number six, as a board member of the district, Jim Hill disclosed confidential attorney-client and or attorney work product privileged information documents to third parties. Sustained, the alleged conduct occurred. As a board member for the district, Jim Hill individually and outside the direction of the majority of the board acted unilaterally and outside his legislative role, including but not limited to becoming involved in and or interfering in personal matters. Sustained, the alleged conduct occurs, and I reinstate my recall for your seat, sir.
It's pressure. Anyone else?
Good evening. My name is Terry Clare, and I'm a proud ratepayer in Oceano, for the record. I am here tonight to express my respect and admiration for Mayor Jim Hill. As all of us know, it can be extremely difficult to stand up for what is right, even if you're standing alone. It is far easier to go along with the majority and avoid conflict and confrontation. However, Mayor Hill has consistently done in-depth research on each and every issue that has come before him and truly looks for what is best for all of us, the people who entrusted him with critical decisions relating to their lives and well-being of their families. He has quietly, and yet with great dignity, spoken out for what is right. I am not part of a small group of disgruntled troublemakers. No, I am a proud member of a quickly growing group of concerned ratepayers from Grover Beach, Oceano, and Arroyo Grande. I am proud to be actively involved with helping the South Sand District get back on a positive track, and I respect Mayor Hill for being a positive advocate for all of the ratepayers. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon again. So I want to relate my own personal experience. Last December, about 10:30 in the morning, I was having coffee at Francisco's restaurant, and Director Hill and his wife came in, and were joined by John Clements, and they sat in a booth close to me. And at some point, they were talking, and if you know Mr. Clements, he doesn't have a soft voice, so anyone in the close area could hear. And they were discussing that someone wasn't getting stuff done. They said that a consultant occasionally would be cheaper, and that that person was not bringing respect to the district. The district had respect for before that person came. Mr. Clemens said that it was wrong to pay that person almost $200,000 just because the guy had connections. Hill said he was going to ask about job descriptions again and try to document whatever wasn't being done. So essentially, they were conspiring on how to deal with Mr. Huebner. And the thing that struck me was that I think Mr. Huebner had probably only been there 6 months. And Mr. Clemens talked about himself some more, that, you know, when he was there, things were better and money, et cetera. So in the end, I view this as a moral and ethical failing as human beings to plot the downfall of another person. And especially so when one person was directly hired him and that another person was an employee at the district. And it's wrong on all levels. So thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Good evening. I'm Stu Jenkins. The issue before you tonight is whether to waive the attorney-client privilege on a letter. I think you should. I think you should put it on your website, and I think you should put my response on your website as well on behalf of Mr. Mayor Hill. Issues that are raised in the report and in the letter by the investigators are, for the most part, complete reaching out to find something, to imagine something was wrong on very, very little evidence. The claims that Mayor Hill has been acting outside of the legislative process are uniformly false. And my letter demonstrates that. I do think that you should consider the experience of physicians. Your district is being sued over and over again and is having legal claims over and over again. And physicians who treat their patients kindly, admit things immediately, try to fix things immediately, find that they are not sued. It's the physicians who hunker down, don't respond, go into closed meetings at the drop of a hat and aren't open and are secretive that are the ones who tend to get sued. I urge you to put all of this behind you, drop the investigation completely. I have a suggestion for a remedy, and it's a simple apology at the end of my letter, and I suggest that you seriously consider that. And sometimes an apology is way more effective than bringing in lawyers. And I am a lawyer. I have no criticism of lawyers or of Mr. Trujillo. But you've let the administration and the attorneys out on no leash. They're not coming back to you regularly to find out if you're going to authorize an investigation, and that's what you should be doing. And to the extent, I know you've already addressed this on your budget, but I suggest you consider having some sort of policy that every time there is any kind of a claim or any kind of a request for an investigation, that it come to the full board, that every board member be informed immediately. And, you know, you can always have a quick special meeting if you need to.
Thank you, Mr. Jenkins.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Debbie Peterson from Grover Beach again. I think that to characterize criticism of the legal fees as being something unique to what's going on just now is stretching the truth. Frankly, if you have companies that are operating well, if you have people that are operating well, they don't get sued after time after time after time after time over a decade. When that's happening, it's a wake-up call. And to say that you can't help it because you keep getting sued, well, I think that's a poor excuse. You can make these things go away. And I think very simply, you could say to Mayor Hill, yeah, there's nothing really of substance here. We're sorry. And the boards your board and the Arroyo Grande City Council can do that. And when you do those sorts of things, you don't get sued time after time after time again. I wanted to raise a couple of other items related to legal issues. One is that there was discussion. In fact, no, I'll put this on the next one. I think it's more appropriate for the next one. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. And the trouble with reading the summary of the report, if you haven't read the whole report, is that you're buying what the summary says. The summary is quite damning. But if you actually read the report, you can see that when the conclusions of each section of the report are made, the actual transcription or the characterization of the conclusion is mischaracterized or mistaken in the summary. There are mistakes. Is that by design? I don't know. I've always thought this was a witch hunt, and
the summary is a result, is that result. It's there. Because when you drill down to through the report, there is nothing there. I was interviewed by this investigator. For really what reason, I'm not sure. That he spent an hour and a half in my home and spent about an hour and 15 minutes talking about Mr. Huebner's contract and whether or not it was a public document, when it was emailed out, when it was on the web, who got it when, whatever. I had written a timeline to show, hey, this isn't worth investigating, and I sent it, I believe, to your board. I know I sent it to the city of Arroyo Grande, hoping to nip that subject in the bud and just say, look, there's a timeline. It's not that hard. He's a private investigator for 31 years, and he's asking me about a timeline? That's his job. He should do a timeline. And I'm sure he had before he even came to my home. He knew that that document was public record before I ever saw it. So that was a sham. That whole hour and 15 minutes was a sham. What dirty little secret that he wanted to ask me about was this one email where I had been blind copied, and in the subject line it said confidential. The content of the email was not confidential, just as the front of this document says confidential. This is a public report. So just because the word confidential is on something does not mean it's confidential. If he had read the content of the actual email that I got in a blind copy, there was nothing confidential in that email.
Thank you,
Yet
Julie.
The sustained motion or the subject that he comes up with here, absolutely false.
That's your time.
Nothing
Thank
confidential.
You. Thank you. Anyone else?
Hi, Colin Kugel. Just wanted, as an observer out here and someone who's gotten up and had my opinion, most of us who've watched and followed this most of the way through, as I have no confidence in this investigation report. Because of the content of the questions, because of the inaccuracies in it that we know, and I know personally, did not happen, were not happen. And the investigators were totally oblivious to some of the stuff that was brought in anonymously for them to look at. A lot of it was thrown away. And that's what I want. That's why I have no confidence in this report. And I know that there are many people out here in this audience who have not followed this investigation, who have come to the wrong conclusion. And I say that very confidently. I'm not one who jumps to conclusions. And I think you know that, John and Linda. And Jim, I don't jump to conclusions. I want to see the facts. I want to see everything down black and white. If it's not black and white, then it's a gray area. And so that's what we need to be looking at. And that's what needs to be taken into consideration by this board when they're making a decision on what's going to happen or what is involved in any kind of action against Mayor Hill. Make sure that it's black and white and not gray. Because it's gray, it needs to go away. And some other solution needs to be made. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Otis Page, Arroyo Grande. There is a fallacy in the report. I would recommend, and I have made a recommendation to the city manager of Arroyo Grande, that they fire their legal attorney. Hill was denied due process during this investigation. He was neither confronted with the details of the investigation of what the facts alleged against him, nor was he consulted about those facts. That, by the Constitution of the United States, is a violation of the law. And yet the attorney for the Arroyo Grande alerted that investigation to proceed. Now, I wouldn't want to suggest to the attorney for the district that you're a party to that, But you are, but innocently, I would hope. Hill was denied due process. The whole investigation is a charade, a political charade. Now, with that in mind, I have this advice. You are the law with the district, the board. The lawyers will give you an advice, but they should not be controlling what you do. In fact, if you let them control what you do, you are party to their error, and they make errors. In business or in government, attorneys should be able to give you their advice and tell you what the risks are of your decision. But when you come down to the hard issue, the decision is yours. If you want to disgrace Jim Hill, do it. But you're going to have a big fight here in Arroyo Grande because of it. I promise you that, because this is a bunch of baloney, and the fact is you denied the man due process, and that is absolutely wrong. I would turn it to you, board members. If somebody wants to investigate you and you're denied due process, I'd say that's wrong. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Page. Is there anyone else?
Good evening, Matthew Grow, former board member. I have 6 years of almost six years of an elected official. During those 6 years, I did my best to always bring out a positive message. I knew numerous other elected officials who almost unilaterally did the same thing. And you could agree or disagree about policy matters, but you could have a discussion. The exception is Jim Hill. You could not have a positive discussion with Jim Hill, and this investigation report shows it. Recall that this investigation started when a member of his inner circle came forward, requested an acknowledgement and apology. Me and Patricia Price followed, this was January 20th, asking for an acknowledgement or apology. Mr. Hill refused to do so. And instead he goes on a personal attack against anybody that would question him. This has been a theme. I've talked to other people who have said they would like to come forward, but they do not want to suffer the personal attacks that would surely come. Calling out malfeasance and unethical behavior, especially when proven as here, is not political, as he would claim. This is a civic duty. And this protects the district, for which I feel I still have a fiduciary duty from further civil liability. But what does Mr. Hill do? When he doesn't have a good defense, he tries to create an offense. He writes a slanderous and libelous piece that goes out in Calcos News, is attached to this report, first time I saw it. This is a complete fabrication. If Mr. Hill was concerned about Mr. Wallace, he could have stuck around after the December of 2010 spill, but instead he left. He quit. I have no relationship with Mr. Wallace. Mr. Hill has no information, nor does anybody else, about whether or how often I have met with the law enforcement officials regarding Mr. Wallace prior to or after the filing of charges. Please recall on the January 20th, there were two other things that I spoke about and at length. One was Gerhard Huebner's presentation, and the other one was from the Five Cities Fire Authority. Both of my comments then led to further discussions regarding those issues. And the question is this fabrication that's created by Mr. Hill in his article and his statements, whether this is a function of delusion or dishonesty? I don't know which is worse. You're known by who you are friends with. And as Ms. Tacker said, look at your history. His closest political ally who was bankrupted the Los Osos CSD. The grand jury report that speaks for itself recommending criminal prosecution of that particular board. Who stands accused to this day of fraud and elder abuse. I can continue, but I think you get the point, who turns to a website that owes $1.1 million for defamation to be his mouthpiece. Mr. Hill himself could have saved the ratepayers tens of thousands of dollars by just apologizing. That would have been powerful. The weight of this report shows unethical conduct, and yet there's still no apology. So before pointing fingers, Mr. Hill should start with the man in the mirror, because that man protests too much. To this board, I am asking the remaining board members, be brave. Protect your ratepayers. Find that Mr. Hill is unable and unfit to serve. Put an end to the bullying and the unilateral action that Mr. Hill is engaging in, as identified by this report. Please bring this back for further discussion and the addressing of the appropriate sanction. This is your fiduciary and civic duty. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Patricia Price, and I want to make clear that I have never asked Jim Hill for an apology, privately or publicly, because I've never felt it was necessary that he make an apology. I wanted to say that I agree with Otis. I feel that Jim was not given due process. He was not interviewed by this investigator. The investigator made what seems like a feeble attempt to set up something and then didn't. And I think it was incredibly irresponsible for an investigator to write a lengthy report, spend thousands and thousands of dollars, and not interview the person that he was investigating. It would have cleared things up, and the matter could have stopped. I want this thing to be cleared up. I will apologize to Jim for putting him through this, and I would encourage everyone who's been a part of this to apologize to him. It's been hell watching him go through this, and it's not fair.
Anyone else?
Mary Lucy, proud resident of Oceano. I'd like to remind people that this investigation went on for 8 months. 8 months, somebody had an opportunity to have their voice heard. 8 months, they had an opportunity to return phone calls, and they chose not to. You know, I attend the Sand District meetings quite a bit, and Mr. Hill took it upon himself to slander two people from the public last meeting and continued on for 4 minutes, and now it's included in the minutes. So I think that the report does need to go public and redact what you got to redact, and I also think too is that the investigations need to go public as well. You know, because I think if some people really truly understood the level that Mr. Hill as a director has involved himself with personnel, with ratepayers being harassed and attacked in parking lots, most people would not stand here and defend that. I certainly don't, you know, and my family didn't raise me that way. So I believe in transparency, and you know, I don't believe in working in secrecy, unless it's my own personal finances. But I think that the reports need to be edited, so no disclosure. And I do think that this report needs to go public, because I think the public, if they really knew, and the last two people who were just totally offended by the report, not the last two speakers, as I look at the interviewers, I don't see Mr. Page's name on here as being interviewed, nor do I see Ms. Colleen's name here being interviewed. So how would they know what the report spoke of if they hadn't talked to the to the investigators. My name is on there. You know, so that by releasing information, it kind of clears things up. You at least know what you're advocating for, you know, instead of blindly just following somebody's word. I do have to say is that I have to kind of take it personal because I look at the last, what legal counsel went through to stop Director Hill from interfering with a possible investigation, and I have to applaud you for being so patient and methodically going at it to protect the district, because those are our dollars. And so I think the more investigations, the more informed people come, the more they'll know how to move forward, because at this point they're not working with the facts.
Is there anyone else?
Ron Holt again. When this investigation was first proposed, I felt at that time it was somewhat of a witch hunt. I understand that you as the board have to take those allegations and deal with them, and I understand that there needed to be an investigation because of that. I was very disappointed that you chose a firm, Liebert Cassidy Whitmore, who had what I thought was a conflict of interest in doing the investigation. And I have to agree with Ms. Tacker, that the conclusions that were on the thing on the website did not entirely, I mean, there might have been some small bit of truth in the conclusions, but from what reading the stuff that led to those conclusions, I have grave questions about what the motivation or what the reasons for coming to those conclusions. And I don't think that this is a good thing. If Mr. Jenkins here believes that this should go to the, I will take his judgment on that. And I think that a couple of other speakers here, especially the last one, were using a whole lot of projection in accusing Mr. Hill of exactly what she has done in the past. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Holt. Is there anyone else?
Hi, my name is Lindsay Westbrook, and I'm an Oceana ratepayer. I just want to thank Mayor and Director Hill for his efforts on this board, for his questions onto what's being brought to him, and to not always just approving, to looking into what is going on, what am I approving, and for his efforts in to doing what's right for us ratepayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Westbrook.
Good evening.
Come on all the way up first.
My name is Mike Noble. I'm not a proud ratepayer of Oceano. I think the rates are too damn high. Straight up. But I do know Jim Hill, and I have breakfast with him and his family just about every morning. Just for grins. I've never seen that other individual in the back there at Francisco's in my life. So I don't really believe anything that she has to say. I've read all the reports. I don't see anything substantial in any of these reports that shows him in a bad light in any way. I believe this is a 100% witch hunt, and the only regret I have is that I haven't come here more often to listen to all this high school bullshit, because that's what I think it is. By the way, I'm a veteran too.
Mr. Noble, please.
But anyway, long story short, veteran doesn't have anything to do with it, okay? Nothing whatsoever. Again, I know Mr. Hill, I know his family, I've heard him converse. He's never said anything about work. He's never said anything about the district that I'm aware of. I go there every day. Every day? Every day. Never heard him mention this anything. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Noble. Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close it and bring it back to the board. And so, hey, guys, come on, guys.
You know, he's going to do it in a public meeting and call me out with a police officer standing there.
All right, we're going to let's take a 5-minute break. Let's clear. Education District meeting for Wednesday, September 6, 2017. We had just finished taking public comment on item 6C. So at this point, it is back to the board, and let's have some discussion. Linda?
Well, I think the question was if we wanted to direct council to have Liebert Cassidy come and present the report in open session, mm-hmm. and if we want to waive our attorney-client privileges for the conclusions, and I agree with, I think we should do both of those things and schedule for a meeting on the, I think the 20th, I think is what our next meeting, to have it in open session.
Okay. Jim, do you have anything?
No.
Okay. So, I think you summed this up correctly. I'm just going to make a statement, and you can make a motion. And I'm going to say this, and I know I could easily just go straight to a vote, but I think it's important for people who are here and people who are watching at home. First, Jim Hill is not a political enemy of mine. We actually work together. I know this gentleman. Second, we had talked about this investigation that we were asked to join by the city of Aurora Grande, and I at the time said I was not interested in a witch hunt and that we were trying to get to the facts, and I still stand by that statement. Some may call it naive if you'd want. I'm just letting you know what my thought process is. I think we do need to do this in a public meeting. I think we've had a lot of discussion tonight, and I know people probably said you let people go on and on and they got off topic here or there, but I think hearing from the community what you have to say is important to this board. I think that obviously the waiving the confidential privilege allows us to move forward. And I would just say that, Mr. Jenkins, I know you submitted a letter because I know you came by my home rather late last night after a long day on the road, but I have it, and I think that information is available to the public, correct? I think that when we get to the point of making sure the right information is put on the website, I think that someone voiced that concern, and I have that same concern. So whatever we put on the website, let's make sure it's accurate and it does portray and puts it in context. So I think with that, I'm going to turn it over to you. So if you'd like to make a motion on this item.
Well, I'll make a motion that we present in open session Liebert Cassidy and Wetmore to present the report in open session, and we waive our attorney-client privilege on the letter of recommendations from the attorneys.
Okay, I'm going to second that. If there's no additional discussion,
we'll go. Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice Chair Austin?
Yes.
And Chairman Schultz?
Yes. Okay. That item motion carries. We're going to move on to item 6D, which is a technical consultants and plan operations report. Mr. Carr.
Yes, Mr. Chair and directors, we have before you the technical report that we present on a regular basis here. We identify those modifications that have occurred since the previous report in italic printing. I stand ready to respond to any of those items or anything that you care to ask me this evening. I hope to have an answer for you. If not, I will pursue one. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carp. Let's see if there's any questions on this item. Jim, do you have any questions?
I am concerned about the Cherry Avenue Sewer Bridge project, especially the issue is if there were birds found, the project start, they would have to be moved back and so forth. And I'm concerned that I believe that there was an outside date, something like October, that we needed to have this work complete within the it wasn't a permit issued by the Fish and Wildlife Department. It was more of a expiration of their time period that they're required to respond to our request for an authorization. And so I'm just wanting to make sure that staff is well aware of those constraints and that we can make sure that this project moves forward within that time constraint.
Okay. Linda, do you have anything? So, Paul, I had a question
on this
page 2. And this involves the agency's request. This is dealing with, I think, the State Water Board, in which they
Which paragraph are you on?
I'm on the first paragraph under finance.
The redundancy?
Yes, under the redundancy.
Okay.
So I didn't know if you had a chance to chat with them, but this, and I know this had come up previously, the staff has requested a number of submittals, including recirculating the mitigated negative declaration addendum through the State Clearinghouse and board readoption, updated cultural resources, and all of that. So I was trying to get a sense of, is this because they want more updated information? Is this something that they felt needs to be done?
Let me try my hand at it, and if you know more about it, please clue me in. But the way I understand it is we're trying to work with the other agencies within the South County here on the groundwater and those kinds of things, the recycling, and we want to move ahead on the redundancy. We have a very short fuse to get that thing going, and the information that is needed to pursue the groundwater recycling is going to take a little bit of time. We think we can give them a little bit of time, but we can't hold up the redundancy project for an extensive period of time. One of the issues that I'm seeing is that, and I may be, you know, speaking out of turn here, but if we went to a complete recycling project where you recycled all the wastewater, barring anything that has to be kept in the outfall to keep it clear, the process to get the buy-in from all of the agencies will extend significantly the date for our redundancy project. So what we're going to try and do is keep the momentum, because everybody is very on board for that, and see if we can come with a project that all the stakeholders can pursue and get behind, but not set us back significantly on our redundancy. Is that approaching your question or not?
I think that's part of it. The other part is I was trying to get a sense of the environmental document had gone through the board.
Yeah.
It actually had gone to the Coastal Commission.
We questioned that maybe we don't need to do those things. In fact, we questioned that maybe we didn't have to do some of the stuff originally. But, you know, when you're dealing with these agencies, Chairman, they can take a little pushback, but they can't take much, and we're relying on our experts in this area. They do know how we feel about wanting to move on, but the council so far is to try and give them what they need and move on. That has nothing to do with the groundwater. That's just a matter of getting those other reports up to the snuff that they want it in order to not consider them, I guess the word is stale, what came up during the conversations. And as city council people, I know you're aware of how that sometimes plays into a project, and it's unfortunate. And, you know, with the benign dictator who knows all good, he can do it right. But we do rely on these agencies to keep us on the right page and going the right way and doing it correctly. So we're going to try and comply.
So I'm glad you use that term stale, because I know Caltrans is another agency that says a document after 5 years is stale, even if there hasn't been anything that's changed in the environment. So I understand. So let's move on to page 4 under programmatic initiatives. And this is under the records management initiative.
Yes, sir.
And this was talking about the C trains. And it looks like they were required to be removed by September 1st by the Coastal Commission CDP waiver issued back in December. But I think it goes on to say the technical consultants are considering options to allow the sea trains to remain on site.
I'm happy to speak to that if you would like some more information. When I came on to the project and having lived through the acquisition of those documents from their previous residents and getting them onto our site, and the angst that went on during just acquiring those documents and then bringing them in, and all of the work that our staff did to get them into the shape that they're in. It's they're stored and locked in a waterproof container and so on. And then it was spoken to in the Knutson report about how important it is to have the documents for the project on site. And the more I listened to talk about moving that storage, I had a lot of concern. And we had input from some of our concerned ratepayers who looked at it from that point of view, and they said, well, why don't you, you know, they're just talking to Rick and me, and they said, why don't you see if you can get an extension or maybe a permanent change to that permit, and that's where we're pursuing it. We still have the lease for storage off-site. I'm going to keep it for about another month until I get some kind of preliminary reading from the coastal people. My hope is that we can retain the container, which the district owns and which the district set up when we got those plans back. And it was quite a painful process. So unless the board thinks I'm going the wrong way, that's the way I'm going to proceed.
No, I think that's good. Thank you. And then my last question is, I had made a note on this earlier. This is regarding the fiscal year audit through Glenn Burdett. And have you had any recent communications with them?
We had some after the August 2nd meeting. We talked to them, and they gave us a date that was, as I recall, it was a couple months out. They seem to be working to its conclusion. I haven't heard that they're I think there was a question about it, do they see something they're worried about. I haven't heard any concern like that come from them. They they seem to be a little bit slower than our previous auditors.
Yeah.
My experience is that these things can go on like this for quite a while. But they do seem to be telling me they'll have a draft to me within a, well, okay. We're already 6 months late, aren't we?
Yeah, so I'm just thinking maybe that's something the board.
We have contacted them. We have pushed them. They don't push very easily. But I feel they're trying to remedy that situation.
So I'm just maybe later the board can have a discussion about giving some direction on that. I mean, we need answers. The community wants answers. And quite honestly, something taking this long, then maybe going forward, this we should be looking at other options. I'll just say that for now because I don't, you know, that's a discussion.
Well, let's not bring up the next audit until we get this one done.
I understand.
Please.
Fair enough. All right. There are no more questions from the board. Let me open this up to the public and see if there's anyone that would like to address this item.
Debbie Peterson, I had just a couple of small things. One was at the last meeting, the board directed a couple of things. One was to come back with the bylaws, and the other one was to come back with Mr. Karp's contract. And I didn't see either of those on this agenda. And on the bylaws, I thought, well, since it's not on the agenda, I'm going to go see if I can find the bylaws. And I couldn't find them in any of the places you'd expect to find them, anywhere on the website. So I started looking through, trying to remember when they were last modified, started looking through every single agenda for the last 14 months. And I found a set dated July update. But it wasn't what I recalled the bylaws being, wasn't what I recalled the board agreeing. And I found one that said something like update February, and these were both attached to, I'm glad you've got them. They were both attached to agenda reports, agenda packets. So up on the site, I think the information's wrong. And so all I'm asking is that these be uploaded and that everybody have access to them, and that we make sure that whatever is attached to anything is actually the right bylaws. So if we can just ask, with the real bylaws, please stand up.
I can follow through with that.
Thank you.
Okay. Why don't we get
through? Post the bylaws.
Hang on a sec. Let me get through the rest of the public comments.
Julie Tacker, and first just let me say that the dialogue between the two of you has been quite refreshing, the four of you. Mr. Huebner's approach was to read the whole written report, and the air in the room was tense, and you didn't really ask a lot of questions, and if he answered them, it was awkward. Let's just leave it at that. What Mayor Hill said at the beginning of public, or the end of public comment, where you weren't allowed to enter into dialogue or answer the public's questions, this is where we do want to hear answers to our questions. And it sounds like Mr. Karp is willing to do that, and I appreciate that. One question that I have been asking for 9 months, 10 months, whatever it's been, why was Liebert Cassidy engaged in a retroactive contract before there was any trouble? I have to have that answered for me. Unless there was some prediction that this train was going off the tracks, because that's what has happened with regard to your human resources aspects. The question that Mr. Scholes raised about recycling the MND and maybe an addendum, and I want, when we're looking at what the financing authorities are asking for, we need to, first, we heard that the state revolving fund didn't have any money. There wasn't money there. As far as I know, that hasn't changed. So why would we pursue that money at a cost to the district to run through these gyrations for them if there's no money to access? The other is the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA. If Oceano is no longer disadvantaged, which the numbers I've been reading, they are not, why would you chase this money? Why would you jump through these hoops if you're not really eligible? What that costs needs to be added to the project price, and the time that's lost by having to go through these gyrations is going to also add to the cost of your project. Balance that against just the bond market. Just go there and, you know, simply do the comparison. And maybe you'll have to pay more, but because you can go sooner, it may balance in the end for the project. It also you have to ask the question if it's worth it. If this, you know, if these gyrations or if the time lost adds millions of dollars to the project, is this the right project? Because, you know, there are pressures to move off that site. There are pressures to move off that site. Flooding, sea level rise, etc. I'm glad the trailer's gone. I'm glad the approach to the sea train is underway. I think the heartburn we all had as the Wallace Group charged your district over $20,000 to get your own paperwork back was absurd. And I'm glad the documents are there. In the invoices that Mr. Wallace provided, there was purging of documentation. Purging of your documents while they were housed at the Wallace Group. That's probably part of why there's an investigation in Mr. Wallace.
Thank you, Julie. That's true.
Ma'am, one more.
If you can wrap it up in 15 seconds.
Okay. The audit. I guess I'd like to know, what is it that they want? What is it that you're, this flurry of documents going back and forth? Mr. Huebner did say that they wanted your fixed assets list, and, you know, is that really it? Thank you again for your work on the public records requests. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Patricia Price said, I wanted to go back to the bylaws. 4.1 says any director may call the district administrator and request an item be placed on the regular meeting agenda no later than 5 p.m., 11 calendar days prior to the meeting date. Such a request must also be submitted in writing either at the time of communication with the district administrator or delivered to the office within the next working day.
Mr. Price, I hate to keep doing this to you, but the item before us is the director's report, not the bylaws.
I thought we were talking about the bylaws earlier.
That is not part of this item on the agenda.
We were talking about the amended bylaws. That was my understanding. Debbie Peterson talked about the bylaws.
Ms. Peterson made a quick reference to the bylaws. She was not talking about the bylaws, per se. Go ahead and finish your comments. How about
okay, that? It's brief. It really is. It's not. 7.1, the Board of Directors is a unit of authority within the district apart from his or her normal function. As a part of this unit, directors have no individual authority. As individuals, directors may not commit the district to any policy, act, or expenditure. Now, council suggested that the amendment of 2.4C to require the district administrator to ask whether the entire board wishes to consider an agenda item proposed by an individual director would make it consistent with 4.1 and 7.1. To me, that appears to be illogical, but also I think it violates the Brown Act, which states, a member of a legislative body or the body itself, subject to rules or procedures of the legislative body, may provide a reference to staff to report back to the body at a subsequent meeting concerning any matter, or take action to direct staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. And that's 54954.2A. Mayor Hill has repeatedly asked items be placed on the agenda.
Ms. Price, that is not the item on the agenda.
Voted
Thank you.
By Mayor Scholes
Thank
and
you.
Linda Austin.
Sorry, you can bring these up at the public comment, or if they are the bylaws get back on the agenda, we can have that conversation. Is there anyone else? Okay, see anyone come forward. I'm going to close this to the public. This is a receive and file, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. All right. We have any board member communications? Okay, seeing none. Legal counsel, can you cover the three items on closed session tonight?
Thank you, Chair Scholes. The district will hold three closed session matters. The first is conference with labor negotiators. Agency designated representative Rick Sweet or Paul Karp, Susan Wells, and Susan Wells. Service of the employee organization is Service Employees International, SEIU Local 620. The second matter is conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, three potential matters. And the final item is conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, one potential matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any members of the board have questions of legal counsel?
No.
Does anyone from the community like to address closed session items, please?
Yes. A review of Government Code Section 54956.9 suggests that the names of the entities or of the parties, when those parties are known, should be listed on the agenda for these kinds of closed sessions. And I want to bring that to your attention and solicit perhaps the verbalization of that information since it's not on the agenda. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Anyone else?
How do I sue the... Let me count the ways. I see you have four items of significant exposure to litigation and, of course, your negotiations with your labor negotiators for the union. The union you never would have had, you never have had for over 50 years, but now you do, based on the last year and a half with Gerhard Huebner. The exposure to litigation few meetings ago, I spoke to you about a smorgasbord of possibilities, because you are exposed all over the place. John, Jim, Amy, me, Nancy, Mary, Gerhard, I want to see initiation of litigation. I want you to recover your separation severance. I want you to recover for the mess that you're in. The finances. You don't have an answer to the question of the $800,000 or $400,000. The money is still at a question. Your books are a mess. Your personnel matters are a mess. But when do you go on offense and stop being exposed and start getting something back? This came about, and like I asked before, and I've asked and asked and asked about Liebert Cassidy Whitmore being engaged, not even a month after Mr. Huebner was hired. And because he had, as Mr. Hill said, he had this $25,000 unilateral authority to enter into contracts without asking you, you need to get that answer. You got to get that answer too. So I just wish you well in there. There's just so much to talk about. I don't know, maybe 2 in the morning I expect you guys to get out.
Is there anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close this to the public, and we are going to recess into closed session.